How many of you know what a synecdoche is? It's a figure of speech, a rhetorical figure of speech, by which a whole of a thing is put forward for a part, or a part for a whole. Let me give you an example. If I tell you, well, bless your heart, is that what I mean? Am I just blessing your whole heart? Of course not. I'm blessing the whole person of you. How about if I say I've got 100 head of cattle? Do you think I've got 100 cow's heads on a pole? No, I've got 100 cows. That's what I've got. How about if I tell you, hey, I like your wheels, man? Do I think I just like your wheels, or do I like your whole car? I like your whole car. So this figure of speech, and we all use them, it's just simply a figure of speech in which a part is put forward for the whole. And we have this type of confusion today, and we're going to study about this. If you'll open your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. This is where we left off last week. I'll give you a second to get there, and I'll kind of catch you up on what we've been studying about. If you'll remember, we have studied an introduction to the beginning of the book of Acts and the end of the Gospel of Luke, and brought those two together. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus is caught up to heaven. He's already given the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, which he told the apostles, go ye into all the world and make disciples of, go ye into all the world. You know, if you can't quote it, read it, right? I typically have a brain lock every week. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. I thought I'd never, ever forget that verse. Jesus spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So this is Matthew's account of the Great Commission. Mark's account says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And in Luke 24:44 and following, it says, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And so all three of those accounts talk about baptism. Luke alludes to it when he says repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name. So now we get to Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. The Spirit is poured out upon the apostles. The apostles are baptized in the Holy Spirit. The apostles and the apostles alone stand up and preach on the day of Pentecost. They preach in 16 different dialects to the people. And the people hear them, and the apostles preach in their own language, in their native tongues that the people were born in. And so the apostles explain this phenomena that's taken place as being a fulfillment of Old Testament scripture, fulfillment of Joel and other Old Testament scriptures. And so Peter then preaches the gospel beginning in verse 22 of Acts chapter 2 and following. He preaches the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now look with me to verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And this is a cry of anguish, a cry of desperation. What can we possibly do? Notice they didn't say, what shall we do to be saved, like the Philippian jailer later does. Instead, they say, what can we possibly do? It's a cry of hopelessness. And Peter surprises them. He has something for them to do. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, what for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so there's great debate and controversy today. In all denominations out there, there's great debate, great controversy about what baptism is. And that's what our lesson is going to be today, mainly. It's a strange thing. If God told the people to bring an ounce of gold to Jerusalem and build a golden temple, everybody would flock there with an ounce of gold. If God told them, everybody bring a brick and put a brick in the wall, everybody'd do that. But he tells them something simple to do, and people want to argue about it. Repent. Change your mind. You go in one direction in life, and you come to a point you're ready to stop. You're ready to turn and go the other direction in life. Repent means change your mind, change your direction, have a change of mind. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, not some of you, every one of you. What for? For the remission of your sins. Now, our Baptist friends, they say, well, that word that's translated there for, eis in Greek, E-I-S, really means because of the remission of sins. And that remission of sins takes place when a person repents. And so let's look at that. Look at Matthew chapter 26, and let's see if that holds water. This same term for the remission of sins is used in Matthew chapter 26, verse 28. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is, present tense verb, is shed for many for the remission of sins. Now, do you think that means Jesus is saying that you ought to take the Lord's Supper, people ought to take the Lord's Supper because Jesus had already achieved remission of sins for them? He's going to the cross to achieve remission of sins for them. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, most people today believe that believe is part of salvation. Everybody believes that. You know, the Bible teaches that you got to believe. For as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even as many as believe on his name. So everybody's got to believe. But notice Peter didn't say anything about believe in Acts chapter 2. He didn't say anything at all about faith, but he did say something about repent, didn't he? He said repent. He didn't say anything at all about confessing, but he said be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Now look over at verse 39 also in this. For the promise of remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is unto you, the people that are standing there, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So that verse shows the perpetual nature of the Great Commission. It's not only for the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, it's for in the future too. It's for your children too. It's not a one-time thing. It is a perpetual thing. This is what should be preached every Sunday. This is what people should do every time that they want to become a Christian. It's from now on. Now, there are a lot of objections to that. People say, well, how about the thief on the cross? How did the thief on the cross go to heaven if because he wasn't baptized? Well, what makes you think he wasn't baptized? How did he know about the kingdom of God? He told Jesus, he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest to thy kingdom. How did he know about the kingdom of God? Maybe he had been taught by John the Baptist. Maybe he had been taught by Jesus. Maybe he was a backslider. Maybe so, huh? But see, that really doesn't matter, because the thief on the cross died during what dispensation? He died during the law of Moses. He didn't die during the dispensation of grace. Jesus had not yet risen from the dead. He had not yet told his apostles, go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. He hadn't done that yet. He hadn't told them Matthew's account of the Great Commission, all authorities given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. All those things hadn't happened yet. We'd like to encourage our radio audience. Why don't you visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free tape of this program. You know, if a person opposes even the idea of baptism for the remission of sins. You're just not going to be able to teach them, because no amount of evidence at all is going to convince somebody like that. It's like a person who believes that we never went to the moon. You know, there are a lot of people that believe that. There are a lot of people that believe that that's just a trick by NASA and the government, and we've never gone to the moon. And they'll tell you the shadows are wrong in the pictures. You can show them photographs of the astronauts, no matter how much evidence you have, you can show them that and they'll never believe. You can have them make a direct interview with the astronauts, people that have been there, and they'll never believe it because they think man's never been to the moon. They have a preset disposition not to believe that. And there are a lot of people the same way today about baptism. You know, our Baptist friends, they say that baptism is an outward show of an inward grace. And I often wondered through the years where that came from. And I was reading last week from Tertullian, which is a second century church father, and he used that term in his book on baptism, which is 15 chapters long, in which he boxes, man, tougher than I'm going to this morning. He fights about baptism and says that anybody that doesn't teach this is way off base. And they got that term from him. But what he really said is that the primeval hovering of the Holy Spirit over the waters in Genesis 1 is typical of baptism. The universal element of water thus made a channel for sanctification. Sanctification is a way of holiness, was set apart as holy. And the resemblance between the outward sign and the inward grace. He said nothing like what the Baptists have to say today. Now let's go over and look at a few things and see if this is accurate. Turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Beginning in verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed to those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles that he did. And drop down to verse 12. But when they believed Philip's preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So here we have the author telling us what was involved in that. They believed the things concerning the kingdom of God, and they were baptized. Now, did those people at Samaria have faith? Of course. Did they repent? Of course. Did they confess Christ as Lord? Of course. The author only tells us part of it. He says, I like your wheels, man. He's just telling you part of it. He's not telling you the whole thing in every account. Now look over in Acts chapter 8 also, the story of the Ethiopian eunuch, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go to the south, the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And he rose and went, behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace the queen, the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasury, had come to Jerusalem for to worship, and was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading from Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to his chariot. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he should come up and sit with him. Now the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb is dumb before shears, so he opened not his mouth. That's Isaiah 53, verse 7. And in his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to certain water, And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Now, I'd like for you to notice something. In preaching to someone Jesus, baptism is involved in it because the eunuch is the one who asked to be baptized. If Philip hadn't have told him about baptism, he wouldn't have known anything at all about it. So preaching Jesus, included in preaching Jesus, is teaching people that they need to be baptized. That's part of it. "See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, and Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. So we hear got believed there. He confessed. Not one word said about repent, is there? And he was baptized. So now we see that every time the author doesn't tell us everything that's involved in the conversion experience, believe, faith, repent, confess, baptism, he doesn't tell us that every time. Look in Acts chapter 9, the story of Saul of Tarsus. Now Saul was on his way to persecute the church. He struck blind, and so he's gone to a house, and he's fasted and prayed. He has not eaten for 3 days and three nights. He's fasted and prayed. People will tell you today, that's all you need to do. Just pray your way through. And so they have the mourner's bench, and they want you to come down here to the front and get on the floor and cry and pray and pray your way through. But see, Saul did that, and Saul still needed to do something else. Praying is not the way to be saved. Praying is what to do after you get saved. And of course, it doesn't hurt before you save to pray and ask God to direct you to salvation. And look at verse 15. "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he," Paul, "is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes that it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized." And so all that talks about is just plain old baptism, didn't it? Didn't say a word about believing, not a word about confessing, nothing at all about those things. Let's look over in Acts chapter 10 about Cornelius and his household. So Cornelius is a Roman centurion. He sends for Peter. Peter comes and explains the gospel to him. And let's begin about verse 34. "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all they that were oppressed of the devil, and God was with him. And we are his witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen beforehand of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he that is ordained of God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell upon them all which heard the word. And they were of the circumcision which believed, were astonished, as many that were with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard him speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and prayed that they tarry with him certain days. So here we see believe and baptism is mentioned in those verses and nothing else. Excuse me, I did that on the wrong line, didn't I? That's Acts chapter 10. That's believe and baptism. So, as we press along through here and we get over to Acts chapter 16, we see the story of Lydia in Acts chapter 16, verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Tyre, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things that were spoken of Paul.
KKGM, Fort Worth, Dallas, a Mortensen Broadcasting Station.
And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to the house and abide there. And she constrained us. So only baptism is used in talking about Lydia in Acts chapter 16. Now, did Lydia believe? Of course she believed. He just told a part as if it was the whole. That's all. Did she have faith? Of course she had faith. Did she confess? Of course she confessed. Did she repent? Of course she repented. Let's look in Acts chapter 16, the story of the Philippian jailer, verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang songs to God, and the prisoners heard them. Now they're in the slammer. They've been locked up for preaching the gospel. Drop down now to verse 30. And so the earthquake has broken open the doors, and the jailer thinks that that the prisoners have escaped, is going to kill himself. And so Paul says, don't hurt yourself, verse 30, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and his straightway. So again, in Acts chapter 16, the Philippian jailer, we have believe and baptism mentioned. Just that. Just believe and baptism. Did they do the other things too? Did they repent and confess? Of course they did. Of course they did. Let's look over in Acts chapter 18, verse 8, at Corinth, 18:8. And Cyprus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. So again, we're told in Acts chapter 18, just a part, as if it was the whole, the part is that they believed and were baptized. Let's look at Acts chapter 19. And it came to pass, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples. And he said unto them, have you received, to see a disciple now as a believer, a follower? And so Paul thinks they're full-fledged disciples, that they're Christians. And he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Now he was an apostle, and he had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he had the authority to lay his hands on someone and them to receive one of the nine supernatural gifts that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And so I can just see Paul standing there just ready to put his hands on him and give him that Holy Spirit, man. He's ready to do it. And what happens? And they said, and he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said unto him, we've not so much heard where there be any Holy Ghost. Now he's shocked, and he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? He just can't believe this. What do you mean you don't know about the Holy Ghost? And they said unto him, unto John's baptism, John the Baptist's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So you see, if you're improperly baptized before, you need to be baptized again. You can't be taught wrong and baptized right. And so here we see only baptism mentioned. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Well, believe is alluded to. So we'll give believe a vote there too. Now let's look at Acts chapter 22, another example of Paul. Acts chapter 22. Verse 16, Ananias is been told to go to Paul. Let's begin in verse 14. And he said to Paul, in other words, "The God of our fathers has chosen thee that thou shouldest knowest his will, and see that just one, and should hear the voice of his mouth, for thou shalt be a witness unto all men what thou hast seen and heard. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And here only baptism is used. Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You remember in Acts chapter 2, last week we studied Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 quotes from Joel 2:28 and following, and it says, "And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now in that chapter, in Acts chapter 2, Peter told us how to call on the name of the Lord. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins." That's how you call on the name of the Lord. And so when you're baptized, you're calling on the name of the Lord. That's the way you do it. You just don't holler, "Lord." That's not how you're saved. One of the... turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. One of the big objections that our Baptist friends, as an example, have is they say, "Oh, it's a work. Baptism is a work, and we're not saved by works of righteousness. You cannot do anything to work or earn or merit your salvation." And they're exactly right. You can't do anything to work or earn or merit your salvation. But baptism's not a work that we do. If you had cancer and you had to go to the hospital to have an operation, is it work to go to the hospital? No. Who does the work? The doctor does the work. That's who does the work. When he's got you laid out there on that table and he cuts that cancer out of you and he gives you an operation, that's where the work comes in. Now let's look in this verse in Colossians 2:12 and see who does any working. "Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you're risen with him through the faith of the operation." You see that operation? Other translations today say working there. "Through the operation of God who has raised him from the dead." The word truly is energos, that we get the word energy from, that's almost always translated in the King James Version as working. So who does the working in baptism? It is the operation, the working of God. Just like a surgeon cuts the cancer out of you and does the work to get the cancer out of you, God is using water as a way to wash away your sins. It ought to be real simple. We'd like to ask our radio audience, why don't you visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free tape. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, we see, we'll begin reading in verse 19, speaking of Noah, "by which also he went and preached to the spirits in prison." Who's preached to the spirits in prison? People misunderstand these verses. They think that Christ died and went down to hell and preached the gospel to the people in hell. That's not what these verses are teaching. Noah preached to the spirits that are now in prison, now in hell. Noah preached to them. How long did he preach to them? He preached 120 years. That's how long he preached to them. "By which also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein, that is, eight souls were saved by water, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us." Now, isn't that simple? How in the world can you misunderstand that? But the world is full of people misunderstanding that. Let's look at our list here in the book of Acts. Notice that faith was not even mentioned in all these examples of conversion. Faith was not even mentioned. Believe was mentioned 6 times. Repent was only mentioned once. Confess was only mentioned once. But what was mentioned every time? Not sometimes. What's mentioned every time? Baptism is mentioned every time. That ought to let us know that this is important stuff. We ought to pay attention to this. If I was the devil, and if baptism really is for the remission of sins, then I'd tell you, well, if you got to believe, go ahead. If you got to believe, go ahead. And if you got to have faith, go ahead. And if you got to repent, go ahead. And if you just got to confess, go ahead. But don't dare get baptized. Don't dare get your sins washed away. Don't do that. Don't do that calling on the name of the Lord. And so, a lot of people's gone for the okey-doke. It's just that simple. Let's look at another example of the part being used as the whole. Look at 2 Peter. Well, I've lost the verse now. We'll skip that. Let's turn back to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Let me remind you back in Acts chapter 16 where the Philippian jailer was involved there in our lesson. You remember that he took them and was baptized the same hour of the night straightway. Now there are two different things that are used in that verse to describe how it took place. The same hour of the night and the adverb straightway. Straightway. How simple that ought to be. Why do people dilly-dally around about it then? People go forward at all manner of churches this morning and they ask, what must I do to be saved? And they tell them, oh, just believe or whatever, and we'll baptize you Christmas. Come back Christmas and we'll baptize you. And then you know what the same people do? They say, oh, well, baptism can't be necessary because what if somebody died before they were baptized? That can't happen here. That can't happen here. It might happen at a Baptist church. It might happen at a Lutheran church. It might happen at a Pentecostal church. It might happen at an Assembly of God. But it can't happen here. Why? Because we don't dilly-dally around about it. We do it the same way they did it in the Bible, the same hour of the day or night, and we do it straightway. Now, are you trying to tell me that it's going to be between the people standing down here and saying that they believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and between there and walking up here and down there in the water, they're going to get run over by a bus? I don't think so. I don't think the God that I worship operates that way. I don't think He operates that way. Baptism, God wouldn't tell us to do it if He didn't want us to do it. It's not a work that we do. And in fact, let's look at Jesus' baptism. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee unto Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou unto me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, if Jesus had done the wrong thing in getting baptized, God would not have told him, This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. How much of a burden and of hardship is it to you to be baptized? Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan, 70, 80 miles. Jesus walked 70 or 80 miles. Oh, you got to walk 30 feet Come on, guys. This is simple stuff. This is not rocket science stuff here. Now let's go back and think again about what the prophet told us. Turn back to Zechariah in the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and be in bitterness as one is in bitterness for his firstborn. That happened on the day of Pentecost. God poured out the Holy Spirit. The apostles preached on the day of Pentecost. Now look down to chapter 13, verse 1. And in that day there shall be a fountain open. Makot is the Hebrew word there. And you know how that's translated other in the Bible other than fountain? It's translated living waters. Living waters. God takes the water of baptism and makes it magic water. It's not magic. The magic is in the faith in the heart of people, but it's living water. It becomes living water. It washes sins away just as taking a bath washes dirt away off of your body. This washes spiritual sins away. In that day there shall be a fountain open in the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. What for? Our Baptist friends ought to pay attention to this. For sin and uncleanliness. The same thing that baptism is for, the remission of sins. How do we know we're talking about the right time? Well, look at verse 6. One will say in him, what are these wounds in thy hands? And he will say, those which I was wounded in the house of my friends. You ought to become a Christian. The way to do that this morning is to believe with all your heart and all your soul that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Put your faith and your trust and your confidence in him, that his word he will not lie. He said, he who comes to me I will in no wise cast out. Flee to him and get a hold of him and take him at his word. Then repent of your sins, of your rottenness and your wickedness. God wants to wash away all of your sins. Forget and forgive every sorry, rotten, no good thing that you've ever said, done, or thought. He wants you to stand here and confess before men that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that the aorist tense verb is used there in Romans 9 and 10. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, if you're constantly confessing with your mouth, if thou shalt believe in thy heart, if you keep believing in your heart, that Jesus, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's not just talking about doing it one time. It's talking about doing it all the rest of your life. And then God wants you to be buried in a watery grave of baptism. And what is it? It is a reenactment of the gospel. Just as Christ hung on the cross, God wants you to die to sin. Know ye not that so many of us have been baptized into Jesus Christ, have been baptized into his death. Therefore, being buried with him, just as Christ buried in a grave, God wants you to go down the watery grave of baptism. Therefore, being buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead, just as Christ rose up out of that tomb from the dead, God wants you to rise up out of the waters of baptism, to walk a brand new life the rest of your life. Romans 6, 3 through 6. If you're here this morning, you need to become a Christian now. You're going to have that opportunity. You can just march right down here and make confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and we'll baptize you straight away just like they did in the Bible. We'd encourage our radio audience to flee the Church of Christ nearest your home and ask, what must I do to be saved before it's everlasting too late? If you need the help of the church and the prayers of the church, won't you come now while we stand and sing?